Support for GPB comes from our generous listeners and the Fox Center for Humanistic Inquiry at Emory University, presenting the Elman Lectures in Modern Literature with pachinko author Min Jin Lee, March 1st through 3rd. Complimentary tickets at elman.emory.edu.
Coming up on this episode...
In many cases in my reporting, I had to leap from my seat in order to avoid being knocked over by a wrestler flying through the air.
Guys are just doing it for the love of the game, but... at the end of the day, there's not much money in it and probably a lot of heartbreak and injury.
Chicken?
I guess he's a rapper chicken and there's the...
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections. Hosted by your two favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own ideas and thoughts about just what gives these works the narrative edge. All right, Peter, do you enjoy professional wrestling?
I have not watched any professional wrestling, I think, since elementary school, so a good 30-plus years ago.
Well, that might have been the time of Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and all those guys.
Oh, it was. Those guys were big in my first grade class.
And this is not... You know, the amateur wrestling. Amateur wrestling is the kind you see in college and in high school and on the Olympics. That is a sport with rules.
Yeah. Whereas professional wrestling, right, is a performance. They kind of know who's going to win.
It's scripted. It's drama. It's entertainment. And I don't think I even considered it at all, you know, before reading this book.
Considered, like, checking it out as a form of entertainment for you?
I didn't even think about it as an option, you know, as a latte-drinking, NPR-listening, you know, Volvo-driving, sushi-eating, whatever Howard Dean was.
We don't go straight from hosting All Things Considered to the bar to watch the wrestling match.
No,
yeah.
I never even thought of it, but this work here has really made me respect the sport. It's an engrossing work of journalism called Rough House, A Father, A Son, and the Pursuit of Wrestling Glory by Athens writer Allison Miller.
So did this book make you a convert?
I wouldn't say I'm a convert, but I respect it now. I'd still like to know more. I'd like to experience it more. But the process of reading this book and preparing for this episode really has been eye-opening for me in ways that I did not think possible.
Okay. Well, I will be sure to ask you about that later on, but tell us about what this book's about, really.
So the book is about the professional wrestling career of a young Barrow County wrestler named Hunter James. And we go from his high school days into his early 20s, which is where he is now. I think he's 22. And Allison Miller spent years with this young man, documenting his life, his relationships, his professional ups and downs. And she does a very great job, I think, of sort of setting the scene of the professional wrestling industry all the way from the big time, the WWE, the kind you see on cable television, right on down to these little small town rings.
So who is Hunter James? Should I know about this person?
Definitely not.
So not famous.
Not famous at all. He is very much still a small town wrestler appearing in small town rings across Georgia. To the best of my knowledge, he still works his day job as a forklift operator. And as the book's title suggests, he is in pursuit of pro wrestling glory. Hasn't quite gotten there yet.
Can I ask how she even found this person as a subject of a book?
I think it was maybe a friend of a friend or just running into him. She lives in Athens, so Barrow County's not far away.
Okay, yeah, Barrow County, north of Atlanta, for those not in Georgia.
A matter of fact, he was a graduate of Appalachie High School.
Oh, okay. For listeners may be familiar with that name because of the shooting that occurred in September 2024. Yeah. So this is a rags-to-riches story, but not quite in the riches category yet.
No, not right. Not a rags-to-riches story at all. It's more like a mise-en-scene. It is a love story to professional wrestling, especially as it relates to, as I said, these small town rings across Georgia. It's like a constellation of them in places like Carrollton and Kingsland and Royston. You probably don't know this, but on any given weekend across Georgia and the South, you can find young wrestlers like Hunter James punching and kicking each other.
I personally love watching indie wrestling. The smaller the venue, the better. It makes total sense to me. You instead of watching in your living room, you know, in front of the TV, you are actually right there, feet and sometimes inches away from the action. In many cases, in my reporting, I had to leap from my seat in order to avoid being, you know, knocked over by a wrestler flying through the air. That's exciting. That's thrilling. You know, there's not many places where you can get that close to the action.
Peter, these wrestlers are not making much money at all. I guess to compare it to something that you enjoy may be comparable to amateur baseball or like minor, small town baseball, where guys are just doing it for the love of the game and the hunger to succeed. But at the end of the day, there's not much money in it and probably a lot of heartbreak and injury.
So I have to ask, are these small town matches as scripted as the big matches you would see on TV?
Apparently. They are, from what I saw.
So it's kind of like theater. So why do they do it?
I mean, it's the thrill of the crowd. It's going in the ring and getting cheered and getting booed and people calling your name and, you know, getting in the ring and putting on another personality. You know, during the week, you can be an average Joe. And then on the weekends, you get to dress up in outrageous costumes and drive hours away from your town to be someone else. And now you have a new name. You're now the Destroyer or the Carnage Creator. And
those are names from this book, I imagine.
No, I'm just making those up, actually.
Orlando the Carnage Creator. That's your wrestling name?
No, I'm just making those names up. But Miller compares the experience to a drug.
So what motivates them is this high that they get when they perform in the ring. It's just this transformative experience, just being able to step into character and perform and kind of feed the audience and create this emotional connection with fans. That is what keeps people coming back for more when, you know, this bruises and destroys their body over the years. Hunter is after something more, though. He is not anywhere near giving up on his dream.
And is Hunter's dream to be a part of the WWE? Or
I think probably more realistically, the AEW, which I didn't even know about, that stands for All Elite Wrestling. It's kind of like a smaller competitor to the WWE. They're on television. You know, they're pretty big relatively to what, you know, small town rings are. And in the book, Hunter sees other wrestlers around him kind of go up into those ranks, and he has sort of glimpses of this glory. He shows up where he needs to be. He goes to all the shoots that he has to go to, and he works hard and he trains hard. He lands bit roles in productions, and he's in the dressing room with the big stars, but he's just short of his goal, and he wonders, why not me? And some of those are some of the more emotionally raw parts of the book.
And I want to get into those emotionally raw parts, but I have questions about how this works. So for Hunter to theoretically succeed and get where he wants to be, is it just like on the strength of this character that he's creating, this persona, and hopefully the higher up levels of wrestling will sort of adopt that character into their their narrative?
Well, Miller sort of gets into this in a chapter later on. This was the chapter that really opened up my eyes. And it was the chapter in which she talks about how to succeed in wrestling, to make it up to the big time. You basically need four things. You need connections. You need a look. You need a gimmick. And talent. Talent is maybe number four, but talent is not the most important thing. It's your connections, it's your look, and it's your gimmick.
Well, does she say why Hunter is not getting big contracts?
So Miller is relentlessly positive on Hunter. I'm relentlessly positive on Hunter. And I think anyone who reads this book is going to be relentlessly positive on Hunter. So she doesn't really like directly answer that question, but she does devote a lot of the book to what I said, what you have to do to make it in professional wrestling. And this is where I sort of thought, you know, myself, you know, connections, look, gimmick, talent not very important. That sounds like drag.
It's drag.
It is drag. I said, this is drag. And I respect drag. You know, I don't seek it out, but if other people are going, I go. It's something that I know. And so, you know, you go on weekends to dress up in outrageous costumes, you get a new name, and it's all about your look and your gimmick and your connections. So, you know, they don't seek it for the money. They're just out for the crowd. So once I decided that professional wrestling is like drag, I said to myself, I have to go see one of these things.
Okay.
Because I had never experienced one in my entire life. And so that's when I went to the little town where I told you about, where I saw this professional wrestling match.
Yeah. Tell me about that. How'd that go?
Well, it was in Royston, which is in Franklin County, about an hour and a half away from Atlanta. So I drove to Royston with a friend of mine. And just to set the scene, it's like in an old gym, like very poorly heated.
I mean, that tracks with what you're telling me about these small town wrestling matches.
Yeah, there was folding chairs.
Out. Perfect. And how could you have a wrestling match without folding chairs?
And there's like 60 people in attendance. There was like a concession selling like hot dogs and whatever. But there were different matchups that night. And the last one was Hunter James with a few others. And I think we have a video of that.
Oh my God. So coming in the middle for listeners in the podcast, we're watching this video. Did you take this video with your phone?
Yeah, this was me on my phone, yeah.
So you got pretty close to this ring, and it is a ring in a gym. There's, you know, there's some barrier set up so you can't get too close. I guess because these wrestlers, like in the WWE, they fall out.
They come talk to the audience members. The audience members will boo at them and cheer at them. Several people are like insulting them. It looks dangerous. I mean, and it is. There are obviously injuries, but it's theater. You know, you could tell it's kind of scripted. There's blocking. And I could kind of tell that some of the punches weren't landing. So that kind of made me feel a little bit better about watching it.
Gently bouncing off these things. They're giving each other time to like get in position so they can do the move that they were.
But, you know, kind of surprising to me, some of the guys were not in shape. I mean, there was like, there was like a really skinny guy. I'm like, you probably need to eat something to get in that ring. But you know,
and was like there a marching band there? Or was
that recording? That was a recording, yeah. But as you saw, I mean, this is drag. There's like a low barrier to entry. And there was even a wrestler performing in a chicken costume.
All right. That is quite a gimmick.
There's the chicken costume right there.
What was the chicken's name? Do you remember?
I don't remember the chicken's name, but there he is.
For listeners who can't see, so there's a man in a chicken costume, and he's got like a royal purple suit with a dollar sign pendant.
Yeah,
so he looks, rich chicken.
I guess he's a rapper chicken, and there's the skinny guy on the left.
Oh, he's got a raccoon tail,
I guess a
skunk tail, or but striped, you know, like a raccoon, right?
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of drama there, like about the last match and what's coming up for the future match. And my guess was that like all the people in that audience probably saw the last match because, you know, what is there to do on Royston on a Friday night, you know? So they're there to enjoy it. I had a good time. My friend had a good time. And no, I'm not going to go drive 90 minutes to do it again, but I'd certainly be up for a local show in Atlanta if one pepped up.
Well, Atlanta, don't sleep on wrestling. It's the hot thing now. You can see a rapper chicken take on Raccoon Man.
There you go.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like you're recommending professional wrestling and this book. What gives the book the narrative edge?
I think there's a couple of things. First of all, it is a stellar work of journalism. You know, think about all the time that Allison had to spend with Hunter in those cars, on the road, getting the details of what he's eating, what he's saying, There's the research that she did on the industry, the WWE. And because it's journalism, she also goes into sort of the underside of professional wrestling, like the steroids, like the drugs, like the injuries, like the promotion of violence. And she even has a chapter in there about how American politics and society is becoming like a professional wrestling, which is bad. So that's one thing. It's a great work of journalism. But as I said, number two, I think, was it because it made wrestling more human for me. You know, it once you see like one part of a system, like one person in a bigger system, you kind of have more respect for it beyond stereotypes. So, for instance, I learned in the book there are gay wrestlers, there are black wrestlers, and one of each is profiled in the book. So it kind of opened my eyes. I learned a lot. I can't recommend it enough.
What about the father and son dynamic here? I'm not sure I heard anything about that yet.
Yeah, she goes into that a lot. And that's kind of like the arc of the book, you know. So the thing that kind of propels the book along and keeps you reading, apart from all of the scene setting, is the relationship between the father and the son. And there is a climax there because...
Well, what's the central question at the heart of their relationship?
Well, should he be doing it? Should Hunter be doing this? The father started out like, no, you ought to be an amateur wrestler. I want you to go to college. And he was an amateur wrestler in high school and college.
Like the actual sport?
Yes. Mm. He was on a, I can't remember if he was on a scholarship. I think he was on a scholarship. But he was going to college and then he dropped out of amateur wrestling in college to go pursue professional wrestling, you know, the kind that we're talking about here. And the father did not like that at all. So I'm not going to say what happens, but that is a central question of the book is, will that relationship be mended and how will that relationship continue?
Well, the book is called Rough House, A Father, A Son, and the Pursuit of Pro Wrestling Glory by Allison Lynn Miller. Orlando, thanks for telling me about it.
My pleasure.
Support for GPB comes from our generous listeners and the Fox Center for Humanistic Inquiry at Emory University, presenting the Elman Lectures in Modern Literature with pachinko author Min Jin Lee, March 1st through 3rd. Complimentary tickets at elman.emory.edu.